Coming up on today's show, we talk about all things Disney. We're going to fill in some news gaps, and then we have some random topics created by AI, some hot takes, and all this and more that is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 487 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host this week. My name is John. I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody? I'm here.
All right, Adam. How did you enjoy daylight savings time? Did you save a bunch of daylight?
I lost a lot of sleep. That's about it.
You know, here in the great state of Georgia, we had the opportunity to no longer have to change time, but we chose to choose daylight savings time, one that we cannot go on unless the bill or motion or whatever you want to call it ever comes before Congress and is passed. And it's probably never going to happen. If it does, it's going to be many years from now. So we're just going to be stuck doing this.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Doesn't that sound right?
I'm used to it by now. All
right. Yeah, but I would have rather have stayed on standard time personally now that I think about it when it's all said and done. So anyway, let's at least cover some of the things that we, you know, a few choice cuts, we'll say, out of the media.
Some lean stories that we're going to talk about.
Some lean stories. Yeah, I guess we could say that. From the past week or so.
All right.
That have come about. There's actually been a good bit of news revolving around Epic Universe this past week or in recent days, I guess, just because it's getting closer, a bit closer.
Yeah.
To the opening.
Yeah. So everybody's excited about the Monsters Dark Universe.
Yes. That's part of it.
I know everybody's flipping out about that one.
I'm actually excited for this park too, though, you know, I mean,
have you planned your trip yet?
Oh yeah. I remember I did schedule one. When did you schedule one that I'm going to have to reschedule.
I scheduled one not long after they dropped.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Early June or something.
Yeah. Something like that. It wasn't that early, but it was. Yeah. So okay. I'm going to aim for maybe fall break, perhaps around.
Let the dust settle a little bit on it.
Something like that. So anyway, out of that, though, I know this is kind of universal news, but Epic Universe has been has been added to the Orlando app. That's how close we are. It's actually been added.
Right.
You can see the map.
No, that's like what Disney does. Whenever something finally changes, it turns from like a grassy knoll to, a whole park showed up, you know.
Disney hasn't done that.
Well, as far as like Epcot, say, for example, it was just like, it's just grass. And now it's like, the whole garden's opened up, you know.
It's like amazing.
Yeah, just popped up overnight.
So also with this, though, we could discuss this part. I mean, I know we're a Disney podcast, but it is at all forms of travel. So Universal can count as another form of travel, can it not?
Sure.
Sure. We used to call it as like the park we don't name or something like that. Like it's Harry Potter, like it's Voldemort.
Right.
The park we shall not name.
If you say it three times, like I'll get struck by lightning is what I'm afraid of.
You're afraid you'll get struck by lightning for being a hypocrite or something?
No. Because my hatred for Comcast has...
Oh, okay. Has it subsided or has it grown?
Man. That's a good question. I guess it's sort of stayed the same. I don't know.
It's about the same. It hasn't grown. It's about your level of hatred is on an even keel.
If anybody dealt with Comcast internet or support or lack thereof, they know what I'm talking about.
I tell you, somebody, I never say never about anybody, but since you brought this situation up, somebody who I think I'm probably never going to use is Spectrum.
Yeah, I've always heard that too.
And the reason why... Not only do my in-laws have it down there, and I'm not that impressed with it, I don't like their techniques of how they go about with their sales techniques.
Mm.
They're a bit aggressive and sneaky at times. I mean, in my neighborhood, because they've only been out here like a year, maybe two, they're constantly like sending people out here. I may have mentioned this on here before, actually, now that I think about it, but I'm going to do it again because it's been a while. The very first time somebody came out here, they showed me how great of a deal or everything they have on this stuff. And I was like, well, just send me some information on this stuff. And then, you know, let me look at it. Something more solid, you know.
And
well, apparently the lady like took that as I'm scheduling you for installation, because I got a call not long after that about my installation. I was like, I didn't ask for installation. I know it was asked for more information about what you were offering. Yeah. And then I've had this two different times now, actually, they've tried to get me to install it, and I didn't actually ask for it to be installed.
Right.
So I don't like that technique or tactic. So if the principle alone, I do not want to choose them. So unless I'm ever faced with a situation where I live somewhere where only they exist, that's about the only way I'm using them.
Right.
At this point.
What is that tactic? It's we're just going to show up to your house. And
yeah. It's like, we're going to force you to take this.
Right. Well, you're here. I guess might as well go ahead. You made the trip.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm going to let them go ahead because I mean, sure.
I mean, I guess it works with some people. There's like, because some people just don't want to ruffle any feathers.
I mean, somewhat. It probably does sometimes. Yeah.
It probably works on somebody, but still.
But the other thing that gets me about them is, because I've heard other people talk about this, like they'll actually introduce you with something amazingly low, like, I don't know, $30 a month for like 1,000 gigs or something. But eventually it's $130 a month, you know, at some point. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what Comcast did. It was always like, oh, for 24 months or whatever, it'll be this. And then it like triples in price after that or something.
Yeah.
And they never tell you that. And then all of a sudden your bill's like triple.
I have been satisfied with AT&T ever since they sent fiber out my way. So I don't think I need to rock that boat. So
that's what I have too, fiber. I barely had any issues with AT&T fiber. So,
right. Theirs is really good. And of course, Spectrum tried to play that trick where they try to convince me about the speed test thing. And I'm like, you know, I have my own speed test here that I can run.
Yeah, exactly. It's very easy to do. But
anyway.
That was a
rant. I don't know. That was a detour.
And speaking of Dark Universe.
You started it with Comcast. Right. No, I was talking about the Epic Universe, not the Dark Universe, the Epic Universe.
The Dark Universe is Comcast support, so that's why I'm afraid to go to this land, because I'm gonna be like, I says people like, do you want to sign up for Comcast? Like, do you want to sign up for Comcast?
The Dark Universe.
that's my Dark Universe. With them, yes.
Epic Universe is what I'm trying to say.
Go ahead.
So apparently one of the things you can find in the app now is which rides are going to have single rider available.
Okay.
At the opening, as a matter of fact. That's just kind of interesting. Because Disney... they haven't had a whole park released yet, but when they release a new ride, you don't usually see single rider right out the gate, right? I mean, not that I recall.
Yes, and sometimes they just play around with like
different ways.
Like, oh, we'll do it for this, and then, you know, then they take it away. So
anyway, Super Nintendo World, out of the three attractions that are going to open, you have Mario Kart is one, and so is Minecart Madness. Yoshi is basically their version of like People Mover. It's a little odd to me.
Yeah. Honestly,
but it looked kind of neat. But, you know.
Yeah, the Donkey Kong. Yeah, the coaster looks cool. It's a really cool concept, too, of like, you know, the track is below you and the fake track is above you and it looks like you're on the fake track.
Yeah.
It's a cool concept for a coaster.
And some of these attractions I haven't seen much of, by the way. So,
yeah, that's the one I would want to do. Of course, the Mario Kart one, honestly, I wasn't that impressed with it. The videos I've seen from Japan or from California.
Oh, I thought that was cool.
I didn't look that exciting to me, but maybe I'm wrong. But
so in Dark Universe, we have Curse of the Werewolf will have it, and Monsters Unchained, the Frankenstein Experience will also have it.
Nice.
So I'm
trying to remember which one had the animatronics that were really impressive, or they both do?
I think they both do, actually, from what I've seen.
Does it definitely look cool? Definitely look cool. A lot of people are going to like that.
And, of course, it has a Harry Potter land, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic.
Right.
Harry Potter and the Battle at the Ministry, the only attraction, I think, over there, right? That's an e-ticket, at least, anyway, is going to have it.
Yep.
The How to Train Your Dragon Isle, Dragon Racers Rally, no. Fire Drill, no. Hiccups Wing Gliders, yes. Which, I don't know a whole lot about those attractions yet. I don't know what those are. I'm assuming the Wing Gliders is probably the more attractive one, is the reason why they put Single Rider in it, right? So,
yeah.
Probably coaster related or something along those lines. Probably. Celestial Park will have the Constellation Carousel. Obviously, that's a no. And Stardust Racers will. So they actually have quite a few things that are going to use Single Rider. I think this is a nice strategy, and I think Disney is probably going to actually adopt this more in the future, because they do have some things that they do. They put more Single Rider in now. But it helps with capacity, honestly, when you filling introduce out. Single Rider. Yes.
Yeah. Don't leave any empty seats on anything, you know.
Because it seems like nowadays that nobody ever makes, like, say, for example, a Pirates, where you can put how many people that per hour? I mean, it's a bunch.
Yeah, it's like 3,500 or
yeah, it's like a ton. Like nobody builds those type of attractions anymore.
Right. Those massive people.
So you gotta, so you got to put the, you know, when you build these, you got to try to move people through as efficiently as possible, at least anyway. So
I wonder if Merc Universe is the reason why Disney decided to greenlight the Villain's Land finally, because the Villain's Land was rumored and talked about for so long, or fans had wanted it for so long.
True.
And this makes me wonder if, like, oh, maybe, especially the hype around Dark Universe, I think, is probably, aside from Nintendo, is the most talked about.
I think a lot of these attractions are doing now is probably in response to almost knee jerkish in a way.
Maybe. But it makes me wonder if the Villain's Land is what makes, is kind of a response to that. Almost like how Harry Potter, like Avatar was, you know, the whole Pandora land was basically the answer to.
Well, you could say that, or you could say Galaxy's Edge. Because they were around the same time frame.
Yeah.
Not long after. I mean, a couple of years apart, right? I mean, wasn't Pandora 17? Harry Potter started in like 11.
Right.
10 or 11.
Well, that's why it took Disney's long time to start developing more lands. But
But see, you would say some of that there seems like it's mismatched, right? Okay, so Wizarding World is released. The next thing Disney releases is New Fantasyland with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You'd think that's kind of the one that was released around the same time, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I think, though, in that era, that even though they tried, Disney did actually try to compete in the sense that, oh, you've got this theme land, we're going to get this property, this theme land.
Right. I felt like that's why they bought Avatar's rights or whatever, because it wasn't Disney property.
Yeah, but I don't think the general...
Universal didn't own Harry Potter. You know?
Right, right. It's Warner Brothers.
But
I think there was almost an imaginary feud going on then, and now the public... Now, in this day and age now, like, nobody cared back then. Nobody saw it that way. In retrospect, we see it that way. But the average person, nobody cared. Nobody thought of it that way. I just thought, hey, we're getting cool stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And... I think as the public perception has grown, now we see these things. Now we're like, now it's like, oh, it's like a boxing match. Like, here's a blow from them, and now we're gonna, a blow from the other side. You know,
right?
Sorry.
But as many point out, I mean, we're the winners in all this because we get to, you know, it helps spur on development.
Yeah. Well. And in some ways, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You get new stuff, but you also get new prices. So
yeah, that too. Right. Yeah. Prices continue to rise.
Right.
Guaranteed there. Oh, well.
Let's see, just to kind of do a couple of news stories. Nothing particularly interesting, openings, closings, as far as like water parks like Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon. They're doing their usual thing, right? One's opening, one's closing type deal. For a brief time period, and then of course during the summer, they're usually both open. The Walt Disney World mobile cast compliments reached a milestone. They surpassed 2 million mobile cast compliments, so that's pretty good, because they've only had that open how long now that they do the cast compliments?
Gosh, it was a couple of years ago because I started doing
it. And it was, I'm going to say it doesn't, it was 2021. Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
The feature launched in October of 2021. It was a Chapek thing.
Ugh, right. The only, to talk about
like,
that.
Ugh.
Anyway, I wish they gave you at least 500 characters of you could type your own. Because
right.
Basically you just pick a, you can type in the person's name, where they're from, if you can remember from their name tag, and where they worked, and they sort of just figure out who it is based on that. And then you'll be like, you can choose from several different options, like they made my day better, or they were nice to my kids, or they were, you know, extra nice. I don't know. Whatever the options are.
Yeah.
I wish you could add like a custom comment, because, you know, back when you used to do it on Twitter, when it was Twitter, you would, you could write your own message and say, this cast member was, they did whatever, you know. I think it's missing that. Don't you? I mean, I feel like the personal messages would be,
yeah, it'd be nice if you had at least a limited character experience. You know, I don't mean characters, like Disney
right.
characters. I mean,
500
limited characters. Number of characters. Yeah.
And it's optional. You don't have to, but I feel like most people would if something made them
keep
go
it brief.
And say, I need to, yeah. But at least like, hey, they were great. They did the, mm-hmm. you know, something specific versus like, they brightened my day. You know, it's like, okay, but what if, you know, I want to add more than that. I actually did that with one where I went to guest experience, and the guy wrote it down on an index card because
wow.
I was specific. I was like, he was like, oh, you can just use the app. I'm like, I want more than that. I want to do more than that.
I want to be able to say more for this person because he did so great.
Yes. I was very specific, and he was like, okay, well, and he wrote it down. He's like, I will hand this to the manager of the people, whatever it is. People manager.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, manager. I'll hand this to the manager. I'll file it right here.
Yeah, right in this trash can. Here's the compliment department. Anyway.
He could have done anything to just get you
it's
your way.
It's possible, but I'd like to think, because it's Disney, that
you have
he
faith
hand-delivered it to.
Yes. Like you want to believe.
Yes,
that
with
the magic.
Two white doves flying as he handed it to the cast member. But anyway, that would be what I pictured in my head. But anyway,
perception is reality. So,
right.
If you believe that that's what happened, then
oh yeah, with 2 million, that's great. It is a good feature.
It really is. It is. Yeah. Well, I think most people though they like to give someone a kudos, but they don't really like to go on very long most of the time. To be honest, that's probably why they don't do that. So,
250 characters, 300, whatever, 500.
You know, think about it. How many times you'd see something like a Facebook post and someone's written like a novel of a post that you actually read the entire post?
Every time I see that, and they're like, please read to the end. Like, it's worth it. Like, no, it's not. I can tell you already.
Well, if they have to say that, it's not. But I'm just talking about there's some people that actually go on and on.
Yes. And like,
it's like, if you can't get it in, like, you know, enough where you don't have to hit more,
yeah,
then don't even bother.
I watched Ocean's 11.
Then you should have done a video.
Right. That quote of, don't use 7 words when 4 will do. That's basically.
Pretty much.
Don't use 7 words when 4 will do.
I had a similar experience from a customer that was like that earlier today. Like they used like 10 words to say, give this to so-and-so.
Right.
To like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they went around the way. They explained more than they over explained.
Yeah, exactly.
They explained stuff that was totally unnecessary.
Yeah. Sometimes people
took the long way. You took the long way around.
Right.
You took the scenic route.
Yeah. Sometimes people feel the need to explain the entire backstory of something before they just ask you like a simple request. It's like, you could have just started with that. I don't need the whole backstory.
See, I think the problem with Facebook, I know we're going off on a rabbit trail again.
Yeah, I know.
People do a post that should be like a blog and they don't have a blog feature. It'd be nice if they did. Because remember MySpace had a blog feature? It'd be nice if somebody had a feature like that. Because that way, if you choose to go there and read this blog, it's different than it just coming across. You know what I'm saying? Just like trying to catch people's attention with it.
But they probably paid to promote it so that people would see it.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's right.
We do this all the time, folks. If you're a first time listener of this show, just go back and listen to a few episodes. You'll see what we're talking about. One thing leads to another.
Squirrel should be the squirrel podcast.
We could put that in there. Traveling with a squirrel.
Well, yeah, right. It's basically this. I just happened to notice this one about the Emporium, and I'm like,
notice this one what?
Like story? It's half updated to look. It looks a lot more like the World of Disney store, actually, from what I've seen. The new the Emporium changes. As long as they make it to where you can walk through there at the end of the day without a million people in there.
Well, that's not an objective because that's not. I mean, that's not that's not the reason you're supposed to be in there.
I know, but people just. Walk and just hang out in the Emporium, and it's Creations at Epcot is much easier to walk through at the end.
Oh, it's because it's massive, though.
Yeah, but it's easy to like the shelves aren't like I don't know 2 feet apart where you can't someone with a stroller is just standing there blocking the entire aisle.
It's kind of just like Epcot in and of itself, like you have plenty of space to walk.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And one of the things they did. A ton of walking to do.
Yeah. There's a ton of walking to be done, but they made it like, I don't know, what, like 4 lanes wide.
Right.
You know, all around, like World Showcases, except for a couple of places where it bottlenecks somewhat. It's pretty wide.
So, yeah. It's really just between Mexico and Norway where it bottlenecks a lot. It's the only.
Well, I would say right there at the entrance, really, to Mexico, right there on that side, it kind of squeezes in right there because when they added the restaurant, right? So it got a little more claustrophobic somewhat in there.
Yes.
And to think there used to be double decker buses that drove through there. They could never do that now. Oh, not without a few casualties, not without a GTA experience.
Right. Yeah. Running over a few strollers.
Ding, 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 ding.
People
ding.
Getting stuck underneath. Yeah. Hop-ons. You're going to get hop-ons.
Hop-ons.
That would totally happen too if that still existed.
Oh, yeah. It'd be nice if they did.
I mean, did people hop on back in the day? They couldn't hop on while it was moving, right?
No, it had stops. I don't know. It had designated stops.
Right. I do remember seeing it, but.
I remember. Do you remember when Barbie rolled around, like paraded around World Showcase? That was kind of an unusual.
Didn't she in the convertible, right? Didn't she?
Yeah. It was kind of an unusual partnership right there. It was Barbie and Disney.
Back in the day, yeah. Indeed. Another segue.
Speaking of segue, they used to have those. No, they used to have those at Epcot too.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those tours.
Back when segues were, you know, everyone thought that would be the next
They thought
thing.
They were going to be a big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they made plenty of money off of them. Okay, so I think last episode we talked about Guardians and how it had a good opening, we'll say, of non-virtual queue, right? Didn't we mention that?
Yeah, it was pretty fairly slow the first few days.
But then the weekend came.
Yeah, it did.
So that made a big difference. It had a much larger crowd. It had, of course, this is after over 1,000 days. I don't remember how many it was total now in virtual queue, the longest standing to date. Yeah.
1,005 days, I think.
Yeah, it was over 1,000 days. So over the course of the weekend, now this is according to Thrill Data. I guess this was at the peak. It posted a 3.5 hour wait time on that Saturday.
Yeah. There was also the poop issue that went on the internet.
See, did we ever get confirmation that that was even true? That one smelled, we first saw it from an unscrupulous source.
Yes, you're funny. Yes,
that's but then I saw the picture too, and I'm like, I can't confirm based on this one photo that that's actual human fecal matter.
Well, there's a video. They posted a video as well. I think it was an Instagram video. People walking through the queue and like doing this because it was like, you know, they were covering their noses and like it was really bad as they walked through it. I think it was real. This could happen anywhere. It could happen.
It could happen, but how does you get that much without someone noticing or pointing them out or somebody actually like filming the act of, not just the aftermath? Do you know what I mean? That looks like someone literally had to pull their pants down and blow out against the wall, the way that looked, if that was real.
I mean,
are we sure it's not vomit?
It's not definitely not vomit.
Okay.
You can watch the video for yourself.
Oh.
Oh, here it is. What does that look like on the floor?
Hmm. There were people holding their noses for sure. Why is there such a very short video of the
poop itself?
Whatever on the side there. And why was it there long enough before it was cleaned up then, if that's the
you
case?
You see like footprints in it too. So people like stepped in it without realizing.
That's what it looks like.
Gross.
How do they but do I that? Mean, not, see, I don't know.
This could happen anywhere though. I mean, you know.
It just, I don't know. Something happen. About it. It's, apparently the people were not deterred enough to exit the line from the smell. I mean.
Right. I mean, if this was at Magic Kingdom, I'd say, oh, they ate at Tony's, but I think of where at Epcot this would be.
Yeah, it's a pretty long walk from Mexico to Guardians, so.
You mean if they just ate a bunch of, like, burritos or something, like beans?
Yeah, something that was.
I mean, it's not that far of a walk. It's not unheard of to have, you know. Maybe they ate at Sandin Hill. It's possible.
Or maybe something at Flower and Garden. Because they have possibly. Food now at Flower and Garden. Maybe somebody got it mistaken. They thought it was Food and Wine and they ate one of the flowers. That was,
yeah.
Didn't agree with them.
I mean, yeah. It could happen. If you're standing in line for 3.5 hours, when you got to go, you got to go, you know? No, I don't know if this was related to the 3.5 hour wait, but
I don't know. I just question the legitimacy of this still. I mean, we've gotten one video, we have the one shot in the corner, we had people covering their noses. So, I mean,
well, apparently this happened regularly at Flight of Passage. This is why they ended up putting the bathroom in the queue. So
there was literally people taking dumps on a regular basis.
Yeah, or like letting their kids go like poop in the corner, like when it was a dark.
So we think this was probably a kid.
I mean,
that looked like an awful lot of. That's the reason why I say that. It looks like
kind of like
that. Almost looks like it was smeared. That's the thing. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
If that's what that was.
I don't even want to try to imagine what happened. So
that'll make sense to me.
Yeah, people can be gross. Like it can happen.
Obviously.
The question, though, is if this happened to you, did you just, like, keep going and ride the ride? And then it's like the ride vehicles are all, like, you know what I mean? Where did this guy sit or person sit? I don't know.
Good point.
Or did he exit the queue and, like, run? Because if this happened to you, I wouldn't stay, right?
if this happened to me, if I had the urge, I would get out of line. If that's what you're saying, yes.
Yes, I would be trying to get out of line and make it somewhere. I wouldn't risk this. Yeah. But
I don't know. Something about that just doesn't smell right.
But you're right. You're exactly right.
Anyway,
something's fishy.
Something's fishy here. Something I don't know. I couldn't tell if there was fish involved. But
yeah.
Anywho, so we got the important stuff out of the way there.
Right.
Anybody care about the Garden Rocks concert series?
I mean, we talked a little about this before.
Yeah, I think they finally filled it out though, because there were some dates that were missing, and I can't remember which ones now.
Maybe. But yeah, I remember we talked about like Plain White Tees and 98 Degrees and Sugar Ray, of course. And
I see 98 Degrees, I see Plain White Tees. So, yep, you're right. Just take a stab and just guess of somebody that you think's on it that would normally be on it. And I'll tell you if they're there.
Well, I know. Who's
the more usuals?
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. Yep, he's on there. Are you looking at the list currently?
No.
Okay. I was going to let you guess.
Trying to think of who else has been.
Because they have a tendency to get some of the same ones with a few new ones.
I feel like I remember Simple Plan being there before. But I remember from last week.
Simple Plan is there as well.
Trying to think. I know 98 Degrees because I remember that from last week we talked about that. I don't know if they're new though. I feel like they've been.
No, I can tell you the ones that were added. They actually have them marked as new that they were added. Queensryche was added. That was the end of March. Do you even remember Queensryche?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. They were famous for that song "Love Is on the Way."
Wasn't Hoobastank there last year, or was that the Food and Wine one?
There's no telling.
Of E to the Beat.
So let's see, where's another one marked new? Maverick City Music, whoever that is. I've never heard of them.
Rick Springfield's always there.
Monaco Band, Icon Party Band. I don't even know any of these people. Sound Up, Glass Ceiling, the M80s. I think I've heard of the M80s.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Foreigner's Journey. Is that like a combination of Foreigner and Journey?
That's what I was wondering.
The Hooligans, Hayfire, Dion Diaz, I think. Southbound, Latin Ambition. So it's not like a bunch of names that you've heard of.
Yeah.
I guess whenever I saw the ones marked new, as in like they've never played here before, like they're new
30
to the lineup.
Special. Yeah.
John Cicada, he'd be an interesting one. Do you know John Cicada as well? No. Taylor Dane.
Not ringing a bell.
You know A Flock of Seagulls.
Mm-hmm. I don't usually go to any of the concerts, really, to be honest.
I hear you. There's a few ones that are interesting when they show up, though.
I'm walking by and they're playing,
One I've seen, like, video of that's actually quite entertaining, anyway, is when Joey Fatone and friends, because he always has different acts. Yeah.
Right. That one turned out to be pretty good. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Just he has various different, friends. It's like it says, Joey Fatone and friends.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, isn't Moana 2 supposed to be streaming soon?
Yeah, I think sometime this month, later this month. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about the newly popular Moana 2 topiary.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did see something interesting about how Disney, and I don't see this listed here, but how Disney decided on Disney Plus to no longer do long form, as they call it, series animation.
Yeah.
So they were talking about doing one with Tiana. So basically when they say long form, they mean this like 30 minutes to an hour like type episodes, right? Now, they'll continue to do the short form, which is stuff like the shorts and things like they, have done on there before. Say, for example, Olaf Presents, which is, those are usually like 10 minutes or less most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least for 15 minutes or less, depending. They're going to do those type things, because I think they've had more success with those type things, to be honest, as far as those go. But yeah, they've decided to go not do the, I guess they didn't have much success, as I say, for instance, the new DuckTales or stuff like that. I think most of the newer stuff they've tried has just not been what they had hoped.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like that thing we were talking about not too long ago. What, it's just the weirdest thing about people's attention spans. It's 10 seconds or 3 hours. I mean, you know, it's nowhere in between.
Yeah, this is an interesting world we're in.
Yeah.
Where the long form or very
just
short.
Just no in between. Right.
Yeah, right. A 20-minute sitcom is unwatchable now.
And if it comes to a series that is like about an hour episodes, they want them released all at the same time so I can watch them like and binge watch them, basically.
Right.
So you basically want hour episodes that you can watch 6 hours of.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it's hard for me to find content that I'll watch anymore. Yeah.
Like when Netflix has something, a new show, they usually have at least 6 episodes, if not more, at a time, right?
Yeah. They just dump all the episodes at once, which I don't love that.
Well, I know that there is an audience for it, though.
There is. There, people do love, the binge watch thing, but I don't have that kind of time, so.
I have a tendency, if I'm going to watch something like that, I have a tendency to go and watch it after it's completed. Like the series has concluded, I didn't watch it while it was on. Right. But after it's over, I'll go back and watch the whole thing.
Season 1, yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this was good. I like the fact that I don't have to wait a week to find out what happens next. So
I suppose.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. A week goes
by. But there's also
really
something
fast
to be said for that. Like, for instance, I like the way, to contrast that, I like the way they did, say, like Mandalorian and even Andor, which, speaking mm-hmm. of, Andor season 2 is coming up April the 22nd, I think.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that one because it focused on like a normal, what shall we say, like a story that's not attached to the usual Star Wars stuff in a way.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it wasn't.
It was a good story.
Right. It wasn't trying to invent something new or.
Right. Right.
Right. Try to answer questions about other,
They weren't trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right. It just put a interesting story inside of a Star Wars universe. That was basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kept it its own thing versus, I think all the others have tried to complete some story or and bring in characters just for the fun of it or whatever, which trying to shoehorn in stuff.
For me personally, I really enjoyed Rogue One.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really good way of connecting the two, the films, connecting the old with the new, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
It does make you wonder why they didn't continue that. I think Solo ruined that for those Star Wars films that weren't canon film, or no, I guess they are canon, whatever. There aren't the trilogy films or whatever. But wouldn't it be cool to have a Shadows of the Empire film, the one between?
Yeah, that fills in the gap, so to speak.
Yeah. It would be cool. But.
Well, and see, that Solo, you mentioned that. I remember when I was watching it, I found it entertaining, but it just didn't have that factor that made me want to go back and repeat watch it. Do you know what I mean? I found it good, but I have not thought about it again until you just said it. You know what I mean? It's just not something I thought about.
I mean, it was a decent movie, but it wasn't, I don't know.
Some of this ways that they came about as to how they got his name or whatever was kind of cheesy. I mean,
right.
Nobody wanted that explanation.
Right.
It's like or his name was Han Solo. Nobody gives a crap where it came from.
Or the, how the Falcon, how he won it and, what it looked like before. And I don't know.
Well, the how he got the Falcon was talked about. It's almost like one of those things where they took one line from Empire and
made
overdid
it.
Just taking that one line about the Clone Wars and blowing it up.
Right. Yeah.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Right.
And now all of a sudden we have the Clone War movie. So
exactly. Although, as a kid growing up playing Shadows of the Empire in, you know, the 90s, I think that would make a really cool bridge movie like Rogue One was. And Mark Hamill has already signed away, you know, like his likeness to be used as sort of like an AI of Luke at that age, which they've done a decent job with of recreating on Mandalorian
at times.
So you could bring Luke into the story as he was part of it in The Shadows of the Empire. Han Solo and Leia, probably, you know, not as much, but you don't have to show them necessarily, but.
Right.
I think it would be a cool story to have a new character, Dash Rendar or whatever. And, you know, you could have Chewie be a part of it. You could have Luke show up and be an interesting bridge to fill in some gaps. But anyway, you could have Boba Fett as part of it. It'd be pretty cool.
Boba Fett.
Anyway.
Boba Fett.
No.
Where?
Yeah, exactly.
I never knew for years that that's what he was saying. You know, back then you had to figure out. He didn't know his name was Boba Fett.
There was no subtitles on a VHS tape.
Someone figured it out. I was like, oh, his name is Boba Fett? And then all of a sudden, the legend grew.
Right.
And I always thought he was saying solar pack. That's what I thought he said.
Right. And the line earlier was when he was shooting the tentacle was not, it's all right. I guess he got a lot better. It was, trust me. I think it was trust me. It was like, it's all right. Trust
me. The original line?
I think the original line was
trust me. Yeah, but he did say I can see a lot better at some point in there because it was.
Yeah, the special
edition. All right, editions. I can see a lot better.
Right, they threw that line in there. It's all right, I can see a lot better.
No, I remember all right, I can see a lot better being on the TV version.
Well, I mean, as soon as they did the special edition
made it trust me?
Yeah. The original line, I believe, was, all right, trust me.
Yeah, but the original is the one that had that I can see a lot better in it.
No, the one now is I can see a lot better.
Anyway, I'm telling you, if I were to go play for you the recording I have of Return of the Jedi when it was on television many years ago, he says that.
Go play it, because it's not.
Well, I got to get a VCR first. I know it's on there.
Prove me wrong. Just as soon as I buy a VK test.
Exactly. So I'm going on Amazon right now and VCR. Get myself a VHS.
Right.
Speaking of that, this is, again, not on Disney topic, but Adam the Woo.
Yeah.
So I guess that's sort of a Disney connection anyway. I saw when he went to, I think it was called the World's Greatest Fair or something like that in Orlando. But one of the things that it has there is they have like a Blockbuster like experience is what they call it. The Blockbuster experience, actually.
So you can go in there
like you're walking into a Blockbuster and they have merchandise for sale. It even looks like the counter.
Back in the day.
They actually have videos in there.
Wow.
On a shelf that you can purchase, I believe. I believe you bought some.
Do you have to pay late fees or whatever?
They did have that on there. They had the Be Kind Rewind. Like you can buy a shirt that says Be Kind Rewind on it.
That's awesome.
All that good stuff. Gosh. I was like, yeah, that was a different time period. We were like explaining that to our kids, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, explaining. Like, we actually had to rewind the tape before we brought it back.
Right. We had a special device that just rewound tapes. I remember that.
Exactly.
We had a tape rewinder.
Yeah.
You just stick it in there and it rewinds it.
Yep, did it for you.
Golly.
And then if you watch something too many times, it would wear out. It would start having things like lines jumped on it or whatever. Right.
You'd have to stick in one of those VHS head cleaners.
Yeah. Or some of the tapes would have the little, like it would.
Yeah, the wavy.
Hit the bottom. Hit the bottom.
Wow, man.
And the top. Anyway, showing our age.
I have some hot takes if we want to talk about hot takes real quick.
Real quick, they have the permit set for the installation of the Zootopia Better Together show that's replacing Animal Kingdom. Mm. Did they officially announce the closure? Did we say that? For stuff to be about?
It's like very soon, isn't it? Like March something?
or it might have been early April. For some reason, April 7th stands out, or maybe it was March 7th. Yeah. Maybe it's gone.
March 17th.
I knew I had something with 7 in it.
Yeah. March 17th. Very soon. Yeah.
Very, very soon. So, yeah.
Next week.
Yeah. They did a sneak peek about the Pirates Bar, but it really was not very sneaky.
Yeah. We'll say. I watched that video and I'm like, that's not a sneak
that's
peek.
All?
I mean, you can see what the construction walls look like on from the inside. That's about it.
I was like, that was we're releasing something because we feel like we have to type deal.
Yes, yeah. It's like, so, anyway. You think Epic Universe is going to be epic? Wait for this bar to open like the end of the year.
Right. All right. So what do you have for us? Hot takes, you said.
Well, here's some hot takes, and I'm like, I am really upset by this one, that it's that it wrote
now,
this one.
And generated by AI, correct?
Yes, this was.
Okay.
This one says the monorail's overrated. I think I need to get a new AI.
Monorail being overrated.
And it says it's slow, unreliable, and needs a revamp.
Well, it does need a revamp just because it's been there for so long. Although they have been, they've been working on them individually one by one, and I feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the state-of-the-art revolutionary that it was when we were younger. That's not how people view it now, is probably. So people just don't even think about it that much anymore. It's something special, I don't think. But
since we're talking about nostalgia all of this off and on during this episode, I mean, I think it is kind of cool to sit in the same monorails that I sat in 40 years ago.
Yeah, these have actually been there a lot longer than its predecessor, right? It's outlived its predecessor by a long shot.
By double almost at this point. But I do still think it's cool because you can tell it's the same train. Like, it's one of those things that
it works.
If they modernized it too much, I would be disappointed, probably.
Yeah.
Because...
See, one of my memories, like nostalgic memories from childhood, it's the a cast member, like the previous model, a cast member having to manually go by and slam the doors. I have those memories. It was just part of the experience. It was part of the experience, yeah. Hearing them slam each door shut. It was just part of the experience.
There's something
about
that.
Did you remember hearing that?
I don't remember those.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
I really only remember the Mark Sixes.
Yeah. Now the interior of those things, they screamed like 70s, but
yes, yeah. The brown
interior. Yeah.
The green is what I remembered, you know, from the monorail seats when they were like that bright green from the Mark Sixes.
Bright green?
What it was like greenish, bluish green maybe.
Oh,
and
I do
remember the divider in the middle.
It.
There was actually a thing in the middle. There was like a little where now, you know, it's for wheelchairs and strollers basically, but it, you know, there used to be that little spot in the middle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there used to be a lean, like something you could lean on in the middle. But prior to that, there were actually seats there.
Right. But then now it's all gone where, you know, make room for strollers and wheelchairs and stuff. But anyway. I don't know. What are we talking about?
Well, you were doing a hot take on the monorail.
Oh, yeah. And I was...
Therefore, we're discussing the monorail.
The hum of the monorail is also a sound that I...
Yeah, it has a sound to it.
Speaking of, did you see that video Disney posted about... It was like National Monorail Day this week or something.
I must have missed that one.
Like, I don't know. Please stand clear of the doors. They also released like a 2-hour long video of... I'm like, did Craig from the formerly of Diz produce this video? Because it was literally like a video of inside the monorail before the park's open. It's just do Epcot loop like 10 times. Nobody on it. Nobody getting on or off. There was no spiel. It was just riding.
I wouldn't be shocked to find out if he was involved.
Yeah. It was like 2 hours long, too.
I'm not 100% sure exactly what his position is, but I'm pretty sure it has something to do with all of their media.
Right. That because they used to do those like park bench videos where it was just like, say, set up a camera and just let it run for like an hour in the park somewhere.
I remember somebody used to do those. Somebody did those a really long time ago, though.
Yeah. All right. Next hot take. Hollywood Studios is a half-day park.
Whatever. It takes you half a day to do the half-day things that are there. It takes you more than half a day.
Yeah, it depends. If you're really good at blowing through it, you can. But it kind of is a half-day park, honestly.
Unless if you're literally going to do everything that they have to offer, no, it's not.
Well, right, because there's shows, there's Fantasmic at the end of the day, decent restaurants. So yeah, you could easily spend a whole day there. But if you just want to do the quick, like,
I guess if I were going to take two parks and choose to split them into a half day each, I probably would choose Studios and Animal Kingdom. But traditionally, like in the past, like way back in the day, though, it would usually be the only parks that I would split that way would be, it would usually be Park A in the morning and then Magic Kingdom because it was later hours.
Yeah.
So you could have taken any of them.
Yeah. You'd always go back to Magic Kingdom because it was usually open till midnight or sometimes later.
At least 11.
Yeah.
So it was like, whereas Animal Kingdom was closed at like 5 at that point in time. Which it does now a lot, but
yeah, when we were young and had energy.
Okay,
now I'm like back to the hotel by 9.
Yeah, I don't park hopping now for me. If I'm gonna truly enjoy the experience, I'm not gonna really hop too much. It's like it's one of those things that was weird. It's like you want to have the option, but do I really want to pay like $500 more for the option? If you're doing it, I say $500. I'm exaggerating only slightly, but I'm talking about over the course of like 4 days.
Yeah. No, when you're trying to drag kids around and they're not going to, you know, young kids, if you're like teenager to young adult, you can do that. But younger kids, and once you get older, the time you try to park up, you'll fall asleep on the bus you'll be tired. Right. And like, let's just go back to the room.
I would say park hopping is probably beneficial if you're trying to fit more in a shorter amount of time, perhaps.
Yeah.
But you're still not going to do everything at each park in that way.
You're never going to get to do everything anyway.
I've kind of become of the opinion that it's better to just do one park a day most of the time. It really is.
Yeah. And if you need the break, go back and then come back to that same park later. But depending on which one, it might close pretty early. But.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Tron is underwhelming and too short. I don't think it's
I don't think it's underwhelming.
It is too short.
The length of it, though, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. I mean,
someone says the queue is better than the ride. I don't believe that. The ride is really good. The ride's fantastic. It's just really short.
I've noticed there's a similarity between the Tron queue and the Guardians queue as far as once you get to the main room, so to speak. You know how they flow? Mm. It's like you walk inward to go outward to each side, right? Type deal.
Yeah. Right, man. Very similar. The best quick service food is not Magic Kingdom. Well, yeah, obviously. Satouli is the best.
Yeah, if you're going to pick just one out of all the parks, I would say Satouli is probably best for a number of reasons. Menu options. And as I mentioned before, it's one of the few places you can get Mr. Pibb. Or Pib Extra.
And it's one of the few quick service restaurants where you're not forced to limit fountain drink. Like you can actually just
really? Refill. I didn't realize that.
It doesn't have the limits on it. Yeah. Which is weird. Did we talk about this on the show that Satouli, I think, is the one to me that for 8 years now has been consistently the best. It's never dropped off.
I would say that's a fair assessment.
I would have said that from day one that it's the best quick service.
There's some others that are still pretty consistent though. I would say Regal Eagle's been consistent.
Yeah.
It's consistently good. I mean, there's a few others you could put.
I would always pick Satouli though over Regal Eagle, but Regal Eagle's still been good.
Uh-huh.
Mickey pretzels are overrated.
I don't really care one way or the other. I mean, they're all right. They don't taste any better than any other pretzel I've had like that. So,
I mean, yeah, true.
So I guess if that's the sense, they're overrated.
The fake cheese they give you with it reminds me of like the fake cheese I used to get when I was a kid on like the nachos. Fake cheese? Yeah. Oh, if you read the ingredients, there's not a single one that's like food.
Right.
With the cheese.
Yeah. See, when it comes to cheese, I'm a cheddar lover, so I like the real cheese. Like, right. I don't like plastic cheese.
I would say go to Baseline to get a better pretzel, though, than the standard Mickey pretzel carts. But
gotcha.
That would be my choice. Disney's more fun without kids. Probably, yeah. I mean, I've done a couple
of those. It's two different experiences. It's not really comparable.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine with them, but it's probably more fun without them.
Whatever you say.
Just saying.
I will say, me personally, and my kids might even end up eventually saying the same thing, I enjoyed going as a kid, but I think my experiences once I was older and was able to make more choices for myself were more enjoyable than being a kid. So,
well, yeah. Because especially my kids, I frequently make them sit at lounges and restaurants.
Oh, yeah. They're going to like hate you later. They'll be like, we never got to do this with dad.
Right. Well, thankfully they made friends. Well, you know, we have people now that know us. At least that's, they look forward to going to La Cava.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of weird saying, but yes.
Right. They do.
I understand what you mean.
Right. Not for the margaritas.
Like, yeah, my kids really love going to the tequila cave.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay. They do. Yeah, they love. They're on a first name basis with people there.
Oh, boy. Alrighty.
Ride overlays are usually a bad idea.
It depends.
The example they gave is when I only mentioned holiday. That was the example.
Oh, is that what they mean by ride overlay?
Yeah, like that.
The downside to the ride overlays is you have to take the original attraction down for too long a period of time. Yes.
Yeah, like Haunted Mansion Disneyland sucks to have it down for like a month out of the year or whatever.
And I got to be honest, I think the Haunted Mansion holiday thing is probably a little more played than it's kind of played out. I think it's been there for how long now? The same way, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's people that look forward to it, but the weird thing is Nightmare is one of those movies that I was just shocked that it had the longevity as far as like a cult following that it did. I would have never thought it would have been this popular now. I mean, for a movie that's 30 some odd years old now at this point.
Yeah. It's more popular now than it when it
was when it first released. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just like Hocus Pocus. I was just like, where did this cult following come from? I mean, I remember enjoying it when it first released, but.
This is an interesting hot take. Disney should have built Beastly Kingdom instead of Pandora. I kind of agree with that.
It's hard to say because there was never really any solid, this is what Beastly Kingdom is going to be, other than it was going to be about, you know,
mythical creatures, whatever.
Yes, mythical creatures. There was never anything beyond that that we got. We got nothing solid about what it would actually be, right? So it's kind of hard to compare that to something we know in Pandora. And Pandora is very immersive. I really love the surroundings there and the way they, you know, they put everything. So it's,
yeah,
I can't base on what exists that I know I like versus what was this going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it could have been turned into a villain's land.
Yeah. If you talk about potential, I had the potential to be good, but how can I say better than what I know? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, again, Flight of Passage is still consistently top five favorite attractions, but
I mean, something about that attraction, if people really get into it, right? I mean, and I'm not even a big Avatar fan by any means.
Right. That was what I was about to say.
Yeah, it can. You don't have to be. It stirs you somewhat. Like there's something you like feelings,
right?
Like you actually feel attached to something there. I guess is what it is. Yeah. I can't explain it.
There's an emotional response it elicits from you.
There you go.
Right, but that was my thing. Like Avatar as a franchise to me is not that exciting or great. I'm not that into it. The land is beautiful. The rides are great. Well, one of them is great. The but Beastly Kingdom, I think, could have been a really cool land. But anyway, that's just me. An acquire, and that's Disney's not going to do that anymore. What would you put there? In Beastly Kingdom? Huh. I think a cool coaster would have been neat. But I think basically Villain's Land is going to be what this is. Mythical creature stuff could be interesting.
Could be.
There could have, I think there was like a concept art of like a unicorn ride or something. And
I don't see any of that being better than Pandora if you're talking about that. So,
well, the original concept, but again, this could have turned into like what Villain's Land's going to be, I think. Could have been interesting.
Well, we'll see. I hope Villain's Land's better than that concept, honestly. But
yeah. Like the dragon or, you know, Maleficent type thing could have been brought there.
Beastly Kingdom was the typical what we got out of the 90s. Like they had a grand plan and then you get the actual, get the reality. That was a lot, happened a lot. And yeah, they happened a lot in the 90s.
Did you write this one? The Skyliner is the best thing Disney's built in the last decade. I don't think that's true.
In the last decade, let's see, are we talking about from now? Because in the last decade.
As far as transportation devices, sure.
Well, it's like the only transportation that they've done new since then.
I do love Skyliner, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's an existing concept. It's not like it's their idea, right? Yeah. They just made it their own. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Guardians is the best thing in the last decade?
Yeah. Guardians is the best thing. So we're talking 2015 and beyond. So that includes Pandora. But
yeah, that's kind of hard to say because if you're talking. Now, here's a good argument. Which land turned out to be the better immersive land, Pandora or Galaxy's Edge?
Or
might have some division there.
I'd say Toy Story Land.
If you're talking about one that's probably kept to its immersive theme, I would say Pandora's probably done it better than Galaxy's Edge has.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I like Galaxy's Edge. I probably need to see the one in Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I found myself, you know, when I went on that business trip or whatever, in the evening, just kind of hanging out there, you know, I really wasn't even doing very much of the rides. Well, there was only one ride at the time, but still.
Yeah.
It was just neat kind of hanging out there.
Yeah, there was one time Jason and I closed down Oga's Cantina, and that was fun to walk out, and the park was empty when we left. That was pretty fun. So yeah, it was neat, but as a land, it's not a ton there that I
just feel like. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's cool, it needs to be there, but
yeah, totally. And seeing the Falcon for the first time, the first dozen times, was like the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's still neat. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's still very cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
I mean, you're standing next to almost... You're doing like the closest thing to really standing next to the... Like if it were real.
Right.
That's literally the closest you're ever going to get to something like that.
What I imagined is...
That's pretty awesome.
Right. Which I loved.
Yeah. Exactly. Even writing it gets that feeling too.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it looks like this, what I've seen in the movies.
You definitely wrote this hot take.
All right.
Disney needs to stop making every ride based on an IP. Give us more original rides like Expedition Everest.
Did it say it that way?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly that way.
It said,
it's almost like they listened to this show.
Because I've beat
that one to death.
Yes. Although, I mean, Tron is a good attraction, and... I think if it's something that's not overly... Well,
there's a lot of popular. The IP that's good attractions. I just get sick and tired of the idea of thinking that you have to make every... I mean, I won't...
Yeah.
Again, back in the day, the Imagineers were allowed to be Imagineers.
Yeah.
They were allowed to come up with things, not just for television and film, but for the theme parks as well.
Yeah. I guess the problem is Disney's acquired so much IP now that you have something for almost every theme you can come up with.
Yeah, but they're convinced that that's what people attracts more people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does initially.
Yeah. But it's got to be good.
Yeah, so many things or ideas that we've pitched or tossed around before, and obviously someone else was thinking of them too, like the door attraction from Monsters, Inc. Right. I thought about that a long time ago. Right. Obviously, I wasn't the only one because they didn't get the idea from me.
No.
So
basically, since the movie came out, almost 25 years ago.
If they come out with a Aladdin coaster based on the Cave of Wonders,
that people are tapping your phones.
They have to be. They have to be like in my brain. For that. Yes, they have to be in my brain somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I said that at least 25 years ago.
Maybe more.
So yeah, at least 25 years ago.
And all right. Put a bow on it.
So. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive CWTM merchandise such as shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel, which you can get all of these episodes and occasionally some footage that we have from our trips. So where can you find that, Adam?
On our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. Our email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And you can find links to more that and more on our website.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. What did we talk about again?
I don't remember.